Everyone, Pastor Mark here with Harmony Toluca Lake, and I am here with Pastor Bridie Roberts, and we are here for another short stories episode segment, part of our story podcast. And so today we're going to be chatting about collective bargaining agreements, and currently there is one happening with the hospitality workers here in the Los Angeles area. So, Bridie, I love having you here. You are a community organizing director for the night here, Local 11.
That's right.
And I'd love to get your perspective on exactly what is going on.
Sure, Mark. Thanks for having me. The other part of my ministerial appointment is with Unite Here Local 11 as the community organizing director. I've been on staff there since 2018, but really have been working with the interfaith community, organizing them around issues of economic justice and worker struggle for more than 20 years, including issues of housing and immigration. Right now, the members of our union are in the middle of a very extended labor dispute with a number of hotels in Los Angeles. In June of 2023, last year, on June 30th, more than 60 contracts expired in union hotels in Los Angeles, in Long Beach, in Orange County, and Phoenix, opening up the opportunity for workers to bargain with their employers for a contract that would reflect wages and benefits that are necessary to live here in one of the most expensive housing markets in the country. I think it's important to talk about who these workers are and how they entered into this fight, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Yeah. So the tourism industry is actually the largest industry in Southern California. So here in Los Angeles, and especially in Hollywood, we think of ourselves, you know, when we think about the industry of our town, we think about movies, right? But actually the largest economic industry in Southern California is tourism. And people come here from all over the world. It's become one of the most premier destinations for travel for a lot of different reasons, right? You know, we have beautiful beaches, we have incredible arts, we have great people and great churches, we have all kinds of things happening here, and people want to be in LA, right? And we see the evidence of this and sort of the strength of the industry and the fact that we just hosted the Super Bowl. The World Cup is coming here. Taylor Swift sold out like six nights at SoFi Stadium and caused an earthquake with her fan base.
We got the Olympics.
And we got the Olympics coming in 2028, right? This is the place. And the people who make up the industry that welcome all those guests to stadiums, to cultural centers, into hotels where they provide the sacred act of hospitality, restaurants, even the people who put the food on the airplanes that will travel here are members of the tourism industry, and they're our members. They're members of Unite Here Local 11. So it's food service workers, hotel workers, stadium workers, cultural center workers, and even some university workers. Like at USC, we represent folks to prepare food for the students and take care of them in their dorm rooms.
Wow, that's really...
Yeah, it's really big.
Big, yes.
It's about 30,000 people and their families.
Wow.
I would say it is... we are a heavily female union, heavily female-led union, lots of heads of households, a large immigrant workforce, and very diverse. We speak a lot of different languages, come from a lot of different places in the world, and have been steadily building the success and wealth of our city's tourism industry. Last year in 2023, as the contract was set to expire, the industry was exiting sort of the turmoil and disruption that COVID-19 had brought. So, you know, we all remember those days, especially here in the church, right? We had to, as soon as the public shutdown orders happened, we had to close things down here at Harmony and learn how to do everything online. Same thing at Hollywood. We adapted, we moved, but it was difficult. It was difficult in a lot of different ways. It was difficult financially. It was very hard, right? The same was true in a lot of these hospitality locations, but I think the impact was even more profound. So when the first public shutdown orders happened, you know, within 2 weeks, a large portion of our members were laid off.
Well, and I remember us doing the food distribution to help out the workers.
That's right. Within a month of the public shutdown orders, 95% of our members were unemployed. So we had food banks, and it was amazing to be there with you on the food bank line. We helped people apply for unemployment. We did all kinds of things, including fight to pass laws at the local and state level that would retain workers. So that these worker retention laws basically said, you know, COVID-19, like some other, and it mentioned it created actually a place in law for like major social medical disasters, like maybe an earthquake or something like that. When there's a major event and there's massive layoffs, that the workers have the first right of return. And we passed those laws at the local and state level to protect not only the jobs of our members, but the nearly 250,000 members that the LA Times estimated was displaced by COVID-19 of tourism workers that were displaced in California, so that they would have the opportunity to return to work once the industry rebounded. And so starting in 2023, what we saw was that the tourism industry had not only returned, but the profits inside hotels and at the airports were at pre-COVID levels and actually at record-breaking levels. They were making huge amounts of money. But our members were still only two-thirds employed. Their workload had changed drastically with the elimination of daily room cleaning, which was supposed to be a COVID-19 protocol, but in the end proved it to be not helpful in any way, except for to increase terrible workloads on people who have been in the industry for a long time. And we were experiencing illness and death in our membership from COVID. Mm-hmm. We also know that at the same time that COVID happened, massive inflation has happened, and we've all felt it. So what felt like a really great contract win in 2018, when our members were able to win contracts that would pay them the highest rates that they'd ever experienced, all of that income increase got eaten up by inflation. And so when 2023 opened the year, we had people experiencing uncertainty about their housing in ways that much higher ways than we'd ever experienced for union members.
Well, here in Los Angeles, yeah. The housing rates, even rentals, just went out the roof, over the roof. It was crazy.
Incredibly. And, you know, there were, in some places in Los Angeles, there were COVID-19 protections.
Yes.
But not everywhere. Yep. They got dropped. And if you lived outside of LA City, like in the county, your protections were very minimal.
Yes. And also without rent control, which most don't.
Yep.
That just, and suddenly it just, I heard about someone having multiple raises in a year.
It's true. And that is sort of the reality that our folks were living in. They're coming out of long-term unemployment. The industry is doing exceptionally well, but they're not asking the people to come back to work, right? They have heavy, heavy workloads. Housing rates were going way up, and they were about to be hit for all those renters who had not been able to pay during COVID, like with the bill.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, and also that example, I'm just going to use the example recently of which you made me aware, of a hotel that shut down its restaurants. The workers were basically let go or laid off, quote unquote. But in essence, then the restaurant, a day later, 2 days later, the hotel opens up the restaurants under new management, but
that's
the workers are not brought back in.
That happened at the Hotel Figueroa. The Hotel Figueroa is one of the many hotels, the 60 hotels, that have been a part of this extended contract fight. And at that hotel and the rest of the hotels, what the workers have been fighting for is an increase in wages to a housing wage that will allow them to live in the city where they work. And I think it's really important for us to understand, it's not just the city where they work. Their labor enriches the city and all of the benefits of the city, public transportation, education, healthcare, right? But if they don't live here, they can't access it for their children, even though their labor has built it. And that is a very huge equity issue for people. We had people driving from Apple Valley to work in downtown Los Angeles.
And just for those listening, Apple Valley, that's a good, I would say, hour and a half to 2 hours
that's
away.
Right. We hear about people coming from San Bernardino, from Bakersfield. Very far, commuting, sharing hotel rooms, trying to figure out what they can do in order to sustain a union job. But the only housing they can afford is very far away. They're fighting for wages that will improve their ability to stay housed and build a future for their family. They're fighting for health care to be maintained. Shockingly, as we open these negotiations, right after the worst public health pandemic in our country's modern history, the companies wanted to scale back health care. I can't even really talk about it. It's so inhumane. And then we were fighting for retirement. A lot of the members are older. If you go into any luxury hotel, you're going to see the housekeepers, and they're in their 60s, and they don't have retirement in front of them. So retirement and a number of other issues that would allow people to live with dignity and respect the work that they've contributed.
Well, and we're discovering here in Los Angeles that insurance rates for anyone that's got homeowners, car, those are starting to rise as well.
Yes.
And we can't even, and the fact that companies are dropping their policies. So this also affects the workers too.
You know, it's interesting. In the work that I do, I get to do a lot of public presentations. I work with students. I meet young adults. If you ask people if they know what the minimum wage is in the state of California, most people don't.
Yeah, because right now with fast food workers, we know that they just got a raise. I think it's like $20, $21.
Yeah. They're going to go to $20 an hour, which is fantastic because most of them work for massive corporations like McDonald's, Starbucks, you know, these places that have more than the capacity to pay. The minimum wage in California is higher than anywhere else, I think, in the nation. It's $16.50. I could be wrong about that, but it's like one of the highest in the nation. It's much higher than the federal minimum wage. But it's because workers have fought for years to increase it at the state level.
Yes.
But $16 an hour at full-time scale is not going to get you an apartment in Los Angeles, car insurance, food on the table. You know, the average rent in L.A. for a one-bedroom apartment is hovering around $1,600 to $1,700.
Yeah, and even at $20 an hour, you're having to have at least a roommate, if not two roommates, to just make ends meet.
If you don't have employer-provided health insurance, we're finding in non-union hotels and workplaces that a single worker without a family will be asked to contribute $250 to $300 per paycheck to their own health insurance. Mm. If they have a family, it's as much as $1,000 a month on minimum wage. Right. So, you know, I mean, I think even to take a step back from this larger fight, like, and I think part of the reason why I believe the church should be invested in this and why this is part of my call and my ministry is that we're looking at a deep, deep inequity wherein there is more than enough resources, a very healthy and prosperous industry that is only growing, and thousands of people working exceptionally hard, right, unable to make ends meet. We have a housing crisis in Los Angeles, and we have a homelessness crisis, which is a social epidemic.
Well, I think there might also be a discrimination situation going on, because you mentioned earlier that the majority of these workers are women.
Yep, that's right. I would say that more than half of our membership is female. In the hotels, the leader, I mean, there's, of course, men in our industry, but the people leading the fight are definitely women, and like many of the departments, it's very gendered. The work is very gendered inside hospitality. Most housekeeping departments are entirely women. They have one of the hardest jobs in the hotel.
Well, it sounds very sexist in a way, because it's like, well, you know, you're a woman, and we don't really have to pay you as much as we need to for the
men. Well, I think it's about gender. I think it's about race. I think it's about ethnicity, the fact that the industry employs many people of color and immigrant workers, and, you know, has not properly paid people what they're worth or what they need to survive. I think it's all embedded in there. And frankly, that's sort of at the root of a culture that values maximizing profit over building community or the health and welfare of the community.
Mm. Well, so two quick questions as we're coming to a close on this particular discussion. One is, how does faith play a role for these workers? And then the second question I'd like to ask is, what can we do as a faith community and those as Christians to assist and help?
Well, let me tell you how faith plays a role. There's so many ways. One, many of our members, our worker leaders, are people of faith. And next time I come and sit with you, I would love to bring a couple of our leaders, because they have their own deep faith stories to tell. And to be able to not only fight since last June for the contract that you and your family deserve, that your neighbors deserve, to think about your future, it takes an enormous amount of faith to know that God is walking with you in the hardest days, in the darkest hours. Some of our hotel members have had strikes at their properties 7 times, 8 times, which means that folks who are living on the edge of a paycheck choose to use their power to strike without pay for many days in order to put pressure on their employer to win. In order to do that, you have to believe and understand that not only are you going to win, but that God wants something more for you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of strength and courage to be able to take the time away from your family, to get coworkers who are afraid to join you, to stand up against giant corporations that keep telling you that there's no way you're going to win something more for your life, and believe that you're going to get there. And so workers tell me all the time that their faith sustains them, right? I think the other thing that's really important is that all along this journey, communities of faith, clergy, young people of faith, the Catholic worker house, nuns, I mean, all kinds of people have been coming to the picket line, have been delegating employers in the lobby, and have participated in telling the story of members. And it was really amazing to have you join me and a bunch of other clergy folk at the Hotel Figueroa on Ash Wednesday. To be able to distribute ashes inside the hotel just days after 100 restaurant workers were fired, right? Yeah. Without any recourse. And to let them know that you're not alone. Because I think that one of the things that we do as people of faith is walk with people in the struggle. And we call that intimate solidarity. Not speaking for people unless we're asked to help raise a voice in that way, but in some ways to magnify what people are already bringing into the place, to help hold a door open that workers have pushed and need some extra help with, but also to be with people in the moments when they're taking the biggest risks or sacrifices. So if that means, you know, if they're going to their manager to speak truth to power and they want accompaniment, we're there. And June 22nd, it was faith leaders, community leaders, worker leaders from all different walks of life who held a massive civil disobedience, you know, which is a long time tool of our faithful resistance to injustice on Century Boulevard. And there were maybe 50 clergy leaders there. It was incredible, out of 200 people, really framing that as an act of faith and justice. And what that did, that moment of witness, was tell a story to the nation about the housing struggle and the crisis that workers are facing here in Los Angeles. So there's a lot there, you know. I want to share with you that out of the 60 hotels that have gone on strike, 35 have ratified contracts. So we have won 35 already.
Yes.
But we're not done, right? And this is the sort of, you know, how my faith sustains me is that I believe it will happen in God's time. We just have to do our piece day to day. And in these 35 that we have won, workers are going to see life-changing wages, as much as $10 increase per hour, which when it breaks down to is a 40 to 50% increase in people's paychecks.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it is life-changing. It means not only that can people create stability in their lives economically, they can build for the future of their family. They want significant protection for their health care plan, real contribution to retirement, and a whole host of other things that people don't think about when it comes to building a collective bargaining agreement, but are part of our union's commitment to social justice presence and, you know, really investing in our communities. So, you know, they won language around helping people who've been impacted by the criminal justice system get into good union jobs. They won language, increased protection for immigrant workers in the workplace. We won Juneteenth as a holiday. There's just so much stuff underneath the lid, right, that workers have been fighting for that they were not willing to give up. And we have 26 to go. And it takes a lot of faith to understand that it will happen in its own time.
And for us as faith community members, from a support standpoint, what would you hope for?
Well, when you get that invitation to come to the picket line, come to the picket line. Because you know what? Once you've been picketing for 9 months, every time a guest comes, people are really elevated. We want you to pray for people. Keep them in your prayers. When you are staying at a hotel, you should look and see, is this a good union hotel? Because the prices are pretty much the same, right? But how much goes to the workers is what's different. You can also, you know, strikes are not easy for anybody. And so when you hear the noise of the trumpet, the bullhorn, you know, you see the people at 6 a.m. outside the street, and if it aggravates you in some way, turn it back out and think, how can I be with these workers in this moment, knowing that this inconvenience is temporary, but the justice that we're seeking is forever?
Yes.
You know, that's a very powerful witness. And, you know, I think just really, really telling people that and understanding that tourism is a huge part of who we are as a city and a community, and that all these people come together to make the kind of Los Angeles and Southern California that we want to live in, including those of us who don't work in the industry. It's one community, right? Where we are building the beloved community together.
Yes, we are. Well, thank you for being with us today and sharing about this. And we look forward to having more discussions and hopefully with a couple of guests.
I would love to bring some people to share with you their journey, actually, and really ask those questions about faith, because you will hear some wonderful stories.
Marvelous. Well, again, thank you. And thank all of you for listening to this short stories episode. And we look forward to, again, having another short stories episode that will be occurring soon. But in the meantime, like, download, share, give the good news of what's happening here with our story and the short story podcasts. And with that, we wish everyone well and peace.